The church's liturgy describes tonight as a night of keeping vigil for the Lord. Tonight's celebration, we're told, is the greatest and the most noble of all the solemnities. The Easter proclamation, the exultet that Deacon Marty chanted for us at the beginning of the vigil tonight, describes tonight in various ways. It says that tonight is the night when you once led our forebears, Israel's children, from slavery in Egypt and made them pass through the Red Sea. This is the night that with a pillar of fire, you banish the darkness of sin. This is the night that even now throughout the world sets vices aside and frees us from the gloom of sin, leading us to grace and joining us to God's holy ones. We're told that this night shall be as bright as day, and that this night has power. It has power to dispel wickedness, to wash faults away. It restores innocent to the fallen, joy to mourners. It drives out hatred, fosters concord, and brings down the mighty. I'm reminded of the custom in the Jewish Passover meal when the youngest at the table asks the oldest at the table, "Why is tonight different than every other night?" And we, as we begin the celebration of our Passover, the Passover of Jesus from death to life, in this vigil we ask that same question. Why is tonight different than every other night? And the answer to that question is that this is the night when Christ broke the prison bars of death and rose victorious from the underworld. As we gather together tonight to begin this Passover celebration, we heard abundantly, reflected abundantly on the Word of God in the Old Testament, the history of salvation, how God created the world and everything in the world. And he said that it was good. And then he created man in his own image, Adam and Eve. And he said that that creation was very good. The only creature made in his image and likeness. Then we heard about Abraham and Isaac. Isaac was a foreshadowing of Jesus, a foreshadowing of the son who was to be sacrificed. And Abraham is a symbol of faith. His faith in God was so strong that he was willing to sacrifice his son, the son that he had longed for many, many years. He believed that God would be true to his word, and so would go to the very end. Then we heard the great story of the rescuing of the Jewish people from Egypt and their crossing of the Red Sea, an event that the Exultet told us happened on this night, when God led his people through the waters of the Red Sea to freedom, a foreshadowing of how Jesus leads us through his passion and death to the glory of the resurrection. And then we heard it from the prophets, the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Ezekiel. The role of the prophets in the Old Testament was to call God's people back to himself, to greater faith, to greater fidelity. Isaiah said that God's word goes out, and it is effective, it's living, it does his will. And Ezekiel said to all of us that God will take away our stony hearts and give us hearts of flesh. All of these stories of God's working in the past throughout salvation history were a preparation. They were a preparation for the coming of Jesus. They were a preparation of a people that would be God's own, God's special people. And then at a definitive moment in time, God took on flesh and was born in our world, the incarnation. The second person of the Blessed Trinity, Jesus became man because it was impossible for us to save ourselves. All of what had come before was a foreshadowing of the great work that God would do through Jesus when he himself took on our flesh. God did the work. God paid the price. God so desired us to be his sons and daughters that he lived life in our world, died, and rose from the dead. That's why Jesus' first words to the women at the tomb, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. There's nothing more to fear. He's triumphed finally over the power of the devil and restored us to his friendship. And there's nothing more to fear." The liturgy of the Easter Vigil, our vigil tonight, will go from this deep reflection on God's holy word, this meditating on the scriptures, to a renewal of our baptismal promises, to a blessing of water, which will become holy. And then we will stand with our candles alight and we will renew the vows of our baptism. Because as St. Paul said in the letter to the Romans tonight, "Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" Paul goes on to explain that when we're baptized, we're buried with Christ. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. So now that we have completed our observance of Lent, now that we've passed through the days of the Lord's suffering and death and meditated so deeply on that, now as we hear the proclamation of the resurrection, as the good news of the word Alleluia is finally back on our lips, we renew the vows of our baptisms because we have put on Christ. We promised to once again reject Satan and his works and to recommit ourselves to our identity as sons and daughters of God. So often we go through our lives and we forget our deepest identity, who God has created us to be, his sons and his daughters. And as we have passed through the season of Lent and tried through God's grace to put aside every sin, everything we are attached to other than God, now we stand up and renew those vows that were made for us at our baptism. And then we're sprinkled with that new holy water. And the choir will sing for us the words from the prophet Ezekiel that we heard in the last Old Testament reading tonight about the water that gives us life, brings us new life, which we are sprinkled with tonight. In our gospel this evening from St. Matthew, we heard that the women went to the tomb after the Sabbath, as the day was dawning. And if you look at St. Mark's gospel, our patron saint's gospel, he told us that they went there with spices so that they might anoint the body of Jesus. We might imagine them going and carrying large jars full of spices to complete the Jewish burial rituals that had been interrupted because it was the Sabbath. And they go out, and they go out to the tomb. Pope Benedict XVI said that on the morning of the first day, the women will see their concern for the dead body and its preservation was all too human a concern. They will see that God has preserved him from decomposition in a definitive way, possible only to God. They will see that Jesus is not to be held captive by death, but lives anew. My friends, we can be held fast by our all too human concerns. We carry the jars of our questions, our challenges, our difficulties. We might even be tempted to perform the funeral rituals and proclaim our faith to be dead, like the women that first Easter morning. Yet our celebration tonight, our celebration of this great Easter vigil, a night of keeping vigil for the Lord, reminds us that Jesus rising from the dead was a real and a true historical event. That indeed Christ raised from the dead dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. And it has no longer power over us because we have been claimed by God in the sacrament of baptism. We have been given a share in the Lord's dying and also in his rising. So tonight, let us put down our spice jars. Let us put down our concerns and difficulties and challenges. And leave those jars at the Lord's tomb and go away like those women with joyful hearts, praising God and giving him thanks on this night, which is as bright as the day.